It's time for the Picture House Podcast with your hosts, Sam and Simon. Please ensure that your mobile phone is switched off, refrain from smoking, and keep conversation to a minimum. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show!
So, Lynn, thank you very much for talking to us today on the Picture House Podcast. Privileged to have you on. We're such a big fan of your work, and we've never had you on the show, so welcome.
Thank you. Thanks.
I remember I was in Cannes when Kevin was in Cannes, and there was so much excitement around that film. And I think there was a lot of people looking forward to the next film. And we're really pleased to be able to play You Were Never Really Here.
It was an exciting film to make, Kevin, and this. It was super exciting, yeah.
Kevin, the ending of Kevin blew me away, but the whole thing was like sort of had me gripped, and you had such an amazing cast. Was that exciting, sort of working with John C. Reilly and Tilda Swinton?
Yeah, it was just like the dream team, you know? You know, normally, you know, your weekends, you want to like get a break, but we all kind of hung out with each other and we were cooking dinner and like all together and hang. It was like a real, like, kind of, I don't know, it was, you know, an intense film to make and a beautiful experience to be with all those actors and you know, like, and hang out with them that much and, you know, cut loose a bit, you know, as well. Yeah,
I think it's good, especially if the work is quite serious, to be able to let off some steam.
Well, I loved it because Seamus McGarvey, the DP, like, he ends up like, he's, you know, I would be like the director of the recipes, so he would be my sous chef, and then John would come in and cut something and do, so we would all do a little bit, and it would be just a kind of good way of de-stressing after a crazy day, you know.
Sounds great.
Yeah,
family style meals.
it was. I think Seamus still cooks my Greek chicken, roast chicken, you know. He stole my recipe, yeah.
Did that sort of work practice carry on to You Were Never Really Here? Did you have that sort of community atmosphere behind the camera?
You know, we shot Kevin in Connecticut, and it was a bit more like out of the city, whereas this was New York, you know, like, so that it was much more frenetic and crazy, and You Were Never Really Here in terms of, like, it was the summer as well, which is particularly brutal in New York.
Right.
But Joaquin came really early, like, he came as soon as the DP came, and so his character was kind of evolving before my eyes, and it was really exciting to make in a different way. It was like in a kind of fever pitch almost, you know. It was like, because you feel like you're going to faint in that heat. It's so oppressive, and it's such a noisy city. But I had so many light bulb moments, you know, like, there's really like, oh my God, how did I work this out? And I've got it. And I don't think I slept. I think that's why the film feels a bit hallucinogenic. You know, I had to prep, like, you know, like, so much stuff. Tom and I, the DP, would go through the shots every day, and then we knew we'd hardly out any time. So we'd be like, how do you do this in 5 shots? How do you do it in 3? How do you do it in 2? It became like a graphic novel. It was like an exercise in economy, you know?
I think sometimes if you have that deadline, you're pushed in a certain direction, and it could actually be the best direction, but you maybe never would have planned that.
No, I thought I might have a bit more slack. And then I thought I'd get a bit of slack in the edit, and it's ended up exactly like the film, like the same energy. But I think sometimes a film, that it just, it becomes its own beast, and it sort of tells you what it's going to be, and that was going to be that way, you know what I mean? And so it was very pedal to the metal the whole time, you know, even in the edit, you know, because Cannes was unexpected.
And, oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I remember you had the very short credits in Cannes the first time I saw the film.
No credits.
It was quite nice, though. It was like a lovely, I can't remember what it was exactly, but it was just for you and for Joaquin, and it was like, oh.
Probably it was about half the time I'd taken to edit Kevin at that point, but the producer and the financier, who, like, you know, he got this film really off the ground really quickly, and that doesn't always happen. And I think he felt more the edit was getting in a good place. And then they really loved it, and they were like, but it had storyboards in it. So I was like, you're kidding, really? Like, Cannes in 3 weeks, and like, I'm certainly not going with storyboards. So we had to shoot just before and then cut that in, and, you know, and do a mix in 5 days. So the good thing about it was, like, we, you know, it was so kind of like intense that you don't get that nervousness that you get normally at Cannes, which can be quite a brutal audience. But I just think people were like, oh great, it's the last film and it's really short, then wow, you know. So they were so happy, you know.
I mean the runtime is remarkable, because it feels like when the film finishes you go through such a journey. And I just looked at my watch and I was like, really? Is there something else? Like, cause it's, I felt like I've been on like more of an emotional ride than with most other movies with this film. Yeah, I think what you achieve in that time is remarkable.
I suppose it's a bit of an odyssey, but I mean, like, the editor and I mean, we were being lean and mean, I guess, you know. I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, I think some films deserve really to be some films they're 2.5 hours and it feels like 10 minutes has went by because they deserve that time. It just kind of was, just became its own thing. Sometimes the film dictates kind of the length in a way. But it was a short script as well.
I guess it's also based on quite a short novel.
After
I saw the film, I went out and bought it and I think I read it in like a day.
Yeah, I probably read it in 90 minutes or something, you know, which is the length of the film. It was a real page turner, and I still wanted that quality. I wanted it to be exciting and unpredictable and still a kind of like a trip, you know, and so this is what came out of it in the end.
I'm glad it did. I wanted to ask just about the novel. How did it come to you in the first place? Were you looking at maybe working on it, or was it just purely reading it because you were interested in reading it?
Well, no, it was the book only came out in France, and I'd met a woman called Rosa Attab, who works with this guy called Pascal Cochot, who works with Audiard. And me and her just met a few times. She's fun, you know. And we talked about our mutual love of genre films. You know, she embroiders actually genre films. She does these embroideries that's really crazy, like Jaws and stuff. And
then, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. And she sent me it, but they didn't have the rights. It was like, this is cool. What do you think? And I was like, well, I like it, but we did, you know, it was. And I just started writing it and speculating, kind of almost like a kind of experiment, because I was like, I think I can do something really interesting here. And this is really the seeds of a great character. It was almost like this is totally what you didn't expect. And this kind of trope, it was like this guy's like a mess. He's not the knight in shining armor. He does it, you know, he can hardly save himself, and he's having this kind of midlife crisis almost, you know what I mean? And he's kind of like a ghost in his own life, you know what I mean? And he lives with his mom, and like, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but it's just like, there was so many things that were kind of against type, you know? And then Joaquin comes in here, and he starts to evolve through the prep and become this beast, but have this vulnerability as well and this tenderness. It just started like showing itself somewhat, and it was getting more and more interesting and away from the kind of cliche stuff that, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, to be honest, but certainly if you need the synopsis, I don't think it's the film, you know. Do you know what I mean? You have to experience this film. It's like, you know, I wish it wasn't a synopsis in a way, you know.
My other job is marketing movies at our cinemas, and you have to write the blurb and stuff, and you're right, it's hard to, less is more,
yeah,
you know, I think, with
definitely.
This film, so we're making sure we don't say too much.
Good.
I think just seeing it, like, even the trailer, it gives you an idea of what it will be like. So just trying to get people to watch something,
it's very much an experiential film, you know. You need to go into it, and I quite like when people come into it and they don't really know much about it. Black and White Paper, you can compare it to a million other things, but it's kind of not that. And yeah, just go see it, I guess, is what I'm saying.
People should be more direct. Just go and see it. That was why it was so great to see it in Cannes, because all we knew was who was in it, who made it, and it was 85 minutes. Great. Yeah. And it was amazing, because you're processing everything. You're not expecting, like, oh, in the blurb, they say this is going to happen. So I'm waiting for that scene and that was great.
I think the next one I'm going to have no synopsis. You know,
amazing. I think no poster, just the title on white background.
It sounds good. It sounds like a Spinal Tap album or
it could be your the White Album.
But I know, I think you know, everyone wants to know everything about everything, but it's kind of like, to me, what's really great about films is when you walk into them and you kind of walk out and they're still in your head for still in that world for the next few hours, or it comes back or stuff. And those are the films I've always liked the most, or felt it's almost like a virtual reality experience. Mm-hmm. That's why it's still good to go to the cinema, because you've got the sound, you've got you're really in that place, that space. And so, yeah, it's a special experience when you sort of take something with you, you know, like you're especially I think after watching like Blue Velvet when I was 15 and walking about and thinking I was still in Blue Velvet and dark Glasgow, you know, like coming back to life, coming back to kind of reality from that was quite an amazing experience. So, or a Kubrick film, or, you know, like there's so many, like, you know, so I think sometimes we try and over-describe things, and what they are is films for a reason. I know people like to know of course you want to know what it's about, but this is a strange one. I think it's to define on paper,
I think even if you do sort of talk about what the film's about, it's not told in the way you've probably seen it told before, so it doesn't really do it justice, you know? I found it a very unique experience and would wholeheartedly recommend seeing it on the big screen, because it's so beautiful as well, and you really absorb everything in the frame, and the camera's often quite tight on Joaquin.
And
his face has got so much detail on. Like, I love seeing like beads of sweat and like his like craggly beard and stuff.
Well, it was real sweat and real grime, because it was boiling hot. Like, it was one of those I mean, it really is on screen. We can, you know, like, I believe that you can sometimes catch the ghost in the machine, and that, that I would have never thought we shot in that kind of way, but it really added to it in the end. It was hot, and it feels grimy, you know, like it feels like you're inside.
You can't like make that artificially. You have to live that. You have to shoot in that situation.
Exactly. I think like you've got the magic and all the tools, but like there's nothing like the real thing. And and I think we kind of felt it when we were shooting it, you know, that there was something kind of electric on that set.
How did this sort of Joaquin evolve into this character? Because I get the sense he's been a real collaborator on this project. Yeah. What were your conversations with him about how he's going to be in the film?
It's hard to say. It's like he turned up, you know, like I say, really early on, and that was kind of amazing, but it was terrifying because like we'd never met, and I'd never cast anyone I'd never met, but we'd spoken. And then, you know, he turns up and I've got hardly any prep and I've got so many things to do, and I'm going, oh my God, how am I going to spend the time with him? Like, but it was the best thing for the whole piece as well, because he was kind of evolving and physically evolving. And then we were talking about things a lot, and but once we'd done all that prep and we were in it, you know? Mm. And that's how I worked with Tilda or Sam as well. It was like, it's not rehearsed. It's like figuring it out in the prep, but this wasn't a long prep. But often it's just like the actor, you know, just by means of they've been in another film or something, will come a couple of days before or something. Like, so 6 weeks, 7 weeks before he's there, you know? And I think, it's his way of getting into it and understanding and... But even in set, the really great thing and the brilliant experience of this was, when something felt a bit wrong or phony or just kind of, there's a way of doing it in a more interesting way that gives you more insight into the character. It felt like we were still always thinking in our feet. It was like, it was like being aware, like being really present, you know, like you can look at storyboards and shot lists and all the rest of it, but when you're there at the time, it's just being aware if something better's there, or the way you're approaching it is wrong, or like, so there was always this kind of searching feeling, which is a really creative like energy in that. And it was a really young crew, and I found out later that a lot of them were directors, like they like ex NYU students, or like the script supervisor was a chess player and a director, and the AD was a scriptwriter, like, you know, and feeling their energy because they were excited by it really buoyed me up as well. So it was really a fun but intense experience, you know?
That sounds very cool. Tom Townend did such a good job shooting the film. Yeah. He's great on social media. We've become sort of social media friends over the years.
No,
because I think he goes to our cinemas as a customer as well, so I think he knows a few of our sort of colleagues and friends. Yeah, but it was so great seeing his name at the end. And like, wow, he's done an amazing job on this.
He's fantastic, but I've known him so long. We almost have a shorthand, you know? And every day we knew our shots inside out, you know? Like, we both started off as photographers, and he's a really brilliant stills photographer as well, but I've known him for 20 odd years. Oh, wow. Like, so it's almost, and he's operated in some of my films as well, so that he knew the script inside out. He'd been to Greece 5 times or 6, I don't know how many times, but like we talked about the work, so that was prep before the prep that made it possible to do it in this short time. So there was such a repertoire in the film, like, you know, just between me and him, like, you know, I think, you know, just this kind of crazy, almost like kind of, this is right, this is wrong. You know, like, I think the rest of the crew thought, God, the two of them were, you know, they warred, or they, you know, like, but we just, like, we know each other, like, the back of our hands, and I think that really helped me make this film in this way, you know.
It sounds perfect for, as well as perfect casting with Joaquin, perfect kind of crewing up.
Well, he's a genius as well. I mean, like, he's a real cinephile as well, you know, Tom. But yeah, like, I can't see anyone else shooting this as well. But I've worked with some amazing DPs, and I love Darius Conji, he's a real pal. And like Seamus McGarvey was like amazing. They all bring different energies, but his energy for this was, I think, the right energy. You know, he knows every action movie too. He knows every Marvel movie. He knows everything, you know. And he's a real laugh as well, you know. And so I think the humour in the set, that, you know, really kept us all going as well between him and Joaquin. In fact, Joaquin would ask Tom over just to make him laugh by just saying something, even if it wasn't funny. That would make Tom would make Joaquin laugh, you know.
That sounds great, especially considering, you know, where this film goes. Nice to be able to have a laugh.
Oh, there was, you know, somebody like, he's got a brilliant sense of humour in that, Joaquin, as well. So, like, you know, there was this kind of crazy energy, but there was also like some really great moments where, you know, we just knew we all enjoyed it. That's what was great. And it was the same in Kevin. We all really, really enjoyed it. And it was actually sad to finish. And I remember at the end, I was like, let's just make another one. Let's just do something else. Like, it's such a great crew, you know. So that's a really special feeling, you know.
So it must be fun to sort of reconnect now on the publicity tour and
Well, he hates doing. He's not like he's not any talking about things, you know. Like, so I think he likes doing them rather than talking about them. But it's great to see him. It's always fun, you know. It's always great.
Can we have a Lynn Ramsey, Joaquin Phoenix comedy scripted by Tom Townend?
Oh yeah, that'd be perfect. That'd be totally perfect. Get one of the script now. You know what I mean? Get, you know, we should commission, and we get someone to commission that, because like I think that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Okay, it's on. I'm sure people are listening. It'll be great. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thanks,
and can't wait to play the film on our cinemas.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Picture House podcast, a Picture House's production brought to you by Picture House Cinemas. We would like to thank everyone who works at Picture House Cinemas and everyone who has ever attended a screening of a film at a Picture House cinema. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.